Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
White Sox Talk podcast brought to you, as always, by Wintrust Community Bank, home of White Sox checking with free ATMs nationwide. Find out more by going to their website, special White Sox webpage, www.wintrust.com/socks. All right, so Chuck Garfine here, the White Sox hitters camp going on right now in Glendale, Arizona. We're going to be doing a podcast tomorrow with a special guest who is taking part in the camp. He'll be our eyes and our ears to everything that's going on with Luis Robert, Eloy Jimenez, Jake Berger, Yoan Moncada, et cetera, et cetera. So be on the lookout for that. In the meantime, I wanted to focus not on the hitters, but on the White Sox pitchers in the major leagues, in the minor leagues. And to do that, we've got the best guy in the organization to talk about them. Longtime White Sox pitching coach, one of my favorite people, the one and only Don Cooper. We're going to hit on a whole lot of topics. Kopech, Hanson, Nate Jones, Rodon, Soria, Giolito, Lopez, new catcher Wellington Castillo. He also gives the one guy he thinks is going to make a big splash in 2018. It's a minor league guy. So that and a whole lot more coming up on the White Sox Talk podcast with Don Cooper. Here we go. Is this the birthday boy on the phone? Don Cooper?
Yeah, this is him. This is him, ready to talk some ball.
So you had your birthday yesterday. What did you do? What did Don Cooper do on his 35th birthday?
Well, you know, we did some things on Friday night. We did some things Saturday. Yesterday we basically had a cake, and I sent my son off to school. But I got to say, I did something cool. I thought, you know, my wife and I have been saving T-shirts over the years, and I'm talking about from 2003. You know, not only baseball T-shirts, but every T-shirt and or shirt or sweatshirt my kids have worn or bought or purchased or places we've gone. And I took them to a guy and got three. And I'm waiting for three more, but I've got three quilts, and I'll call them White Sox quilts. And they came out unbelievably good. So I gave one to each one of my kids. That's what I've been doing White Sox-wise, really. That's how I celebrated my birthday, you know, more than anything else. It was fun. I enjoy them. I'd like to have a lot more.
Okay, well, you're an employee of the White Sox, but in a way, you're a fan of the team as well, because you're doing what fans love to do, which is, you know, do things White Sox related, and you love this team. So that's a really cool thing.
There's a little bit of difference between some fans. Some fans don't have the info. Some fans are getting fake news. I'm here to give you the real news.
That's why you're here. And, you know, last winter, we had you on the podcast, and that podcast, Coop, shot all the way to the top. And for like months, it was one of our most listened to podcasts. But over the last several months, it's not up there anymore. So we need this podcast to shoot all the way to the top. So I want, don't give me the fake news. Give me the real news. Give me some breaking news on this podcast. And I assure you, Coop, this will be in the top five.
Well, listen, if you want to talk pitching, let's go.
Okay. Well, right out of the gate, I'm going to ask you about Michael Kopech, because he made great strides last year. Many expect him to be knocking on the door for the major league. So my first question to you is, how close do you think he is?
He's knocking on the door to the major leagues. That's exactly where he's at. I mean, he had a dynamite season, highly talented guy, tremendous fastball, continuing developing breaking ball, continuing to develop changeup, has poise, has stuff, has the determination, too. You know, when I hear him talk, he wants to be the best. And you know what? That's kind of what I'm into. Each guy, no matter who they are, has gotten gifts. everybody that plays in the big leagues or wants to play in the big leagues, they've got gifts. And, the way I see it, you got to bring those gifts out as far as you can. They were given to you by God. And, and some guys have more gifts than others, like I said. Michael certainly has a whole bunch of gifts because he's big, strong, can throw the heck out of the ball. But with him and everybody else that we're going to be talking about for the rest of this podcast, there's things for them to get better at.
Does he remind you of another pitcher you've worked with?
You know what? The closest thing that can come to my mind is Sale from the right side with a higher angle. I'm reaching. I'm really reaching. Michael Kopech is Michael Kopech. Quintana is Quintana. Comparisons to me, the only time I bring up comparisons in my mind to a large, large degree is, this guy looks like this guy, in his delivery, in his movements, the things that he's doing. Well, this guy reminds me of so-and-so. And again, I might even say that out loud, but a lot of times it's more internally than when I see people that I do that.
Well, over the course of the season, I was on the set with Bill Melton, and we're looking at him, and Kopech, we're looking at him, and Melton came up with a great comp in his delivery, and we put the video between side by side between Michael Kopech and Justin Verlander, and was almost identical. Could you see some Verlander and Kopech?
I happen to see you guys do that. I saw that video.
Yeah.
And that was similar. But it really didn't click to me, that's a guy that he said. Both of them have outstanding – let's just talk about it. Both of them have outstanding fastballs. Verlander, in the playoffs, especially last year, had an outstanding changeup. Both have fastballs. Outstanding changeup for Verlander, continuing changeup, and hopefully we can get it just the way Verlander's got it in Michael. Verlander's got two different types of breaking balls. Michael's kind of got one right now. But heck, if he can be as good or close to as good as Verlander, we've got a real good pitcher coming down the pike. Let's face it, because the comparisons, like I said, I'm not into. Michael has got tremendous gifts, and we've just got to go. And Michael, I'm anxious to see him in spring training. I know he's going to bring the fastball with him. Whenever I talk about fastballs, you got to be able to throw the fastball where you want, to the side of the plate you're going to. So it's always going to be continued work on the fastball command, whenever I say that, because the work stops when you retire. I mean, heck, we were still doing it with Quintana, with Sale, with Burley in his last year. You're just always trying to get more located fastballs. So that's kind of what I got.
How much communication do you have with your pitchers, like right now during the off season? Like, have you spoken to major league guys? Are you even speaking to some of the minor league guys like Kopech, or do you wait until spring training?
No, I spoke. I think I got like 30. I don't have my book in front of me, but I got like 32 names that may become. I've talked to everybody that's coming to spring training that's on the roster, other than Carson Fulmer. I talked to Carson Fulmer 2 months ago, though. So that's the reason why I haven't talked to Carson. I'm due to give him a call in the next day or two, but I do know I'm going to see him as well as others at Stockfest. So, I have that little bit of leeway. But I talked to everybody, really, and I have talked to a couple minor league guys. I'm waiting to find out the finalized list on who's coming, and then certainly I will speak to those guys. I've talked to the 6-year free agents we've signed that are coming. I've talked to Soria and Avilan, guys we've traded for. So that's kind of what's going on right now, as well as for me doing some scheduling stuff, for spring training, getting prepared for that, and the throwing groups. It's already been done. Really, this has been done 2 weeks after the season. I kind of mapped out the starters, the first start in the big leagues this year. I'm talking about in Chicago, when the season starts.
Yeah.
Numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'll be talking to both Ricks, on what names are we going to be plugging into that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and basically setting up their schedules in spring training. You know, there'll be more phone calls coming a week, at least a week before spring training, because then I can give them, you know, the first 10 days of spring training, what they're going to be doing and when they're going to be doing it and where they're going to be doing it as far as throwing, whether it be on the mound, whether it be long toss, whether it be sidelines, whether it be batting practice.
So who do you think, there's a lot of discussion right now. We've been talking here in the newsroom about who starts opening day. Is it like you want like a James Shields, a guy who's done it before on opening day?
Well, you know what, Chuck, you being in the industry, you know, that stuff's not given out on January 16th, the day after my birthday.
That
stuff's not handed out to you. You know,
you're not gonna break the news right here on the podcast.
Heck no. That wouldn't be right. I got in my mind who I want to start, but that may not be what both Ricks want to do. So we'll chat about that. We, you know, we may even look a little bit further on. Nothing's final until that opening day, you know, happens.
Listen, you gave me a great answer there. You said you already have in your mind who you think you should start an opening day. That's good enough for
sure
me.
Sure I do.
That's great.
Sure I do. And I also have who would be 2, 3, 4, 5. And who they're pitching against, where they're pitching. You know, what those lineups might look like.
Yeah.
You know, and things like that. All, a lot of things come into it. And that's why it's way too early to even kind of talk about that, you know.
Well, I know, but you brought it up that it's already on your mind, so I figured, well, let's go down that road a little bit here. But I wanted to ask you about Ronaldo Lopez and Lucas Giolito, because they got called up last year. They showed that they can pitch and excel in the major leagues. You spend a lot of time with these guys, you know, behind the scenes, so I'm wondering if you could, like, kind of share something that you saw, because you have like a front row seat with these guys, that left an impression that kind of stayed with you about both Lopez and Giolito.
All right, so I'll talk about Giolito first.
Okay.
When Giolito came up, he had a sense of calmness. He was competing. He was throwing strikes. He was getting ahead. He was elevating fastballs above the zone, higher than high, throwing his curveball in the dirt, an outstanding changeup. We made a couple little small adjustments, nothing really even speak about in his mechanics. I'm just giving you the lowdown here. And he has a little cutter slash slider that he has. So he's got a really good mix. But the calmness, the competing, it was the confidence. That's what I saw. That's the word that encapsulates it all. And the difference was in spring training, if you remember, you don't, he was, traded. Came in, wanted to impress, was seeking more velocity and trying to get – he got wrapped up and tied himself in knots basically mentally instead of just using what he has, which was enough. And I knew it was enough, because I remember him throwing against the Cubs in spring training at their place, and I knew doing that would be a challenge. And that was done on purpose in my mind, and he handled it well, and he pitched pretty good. But, he had a nice little day, I thought. But he still was looking for velocity. Somewhere along the road in AAA, him and the pitching coach, Steve McCaddy, you know, came together, and they both did a hell of a job. So our system did a nice job with, making him realize that what you got on that given day is what you got. And you still can go out and make it work. You know, if you're doing the things that everybody knows you need to do as a pitcher, which is, hey, throw strike one, get ahead, throw a few different pitches, change speeds, hit the locations, elevate some fastballs, let him chase some breakables in the dirt. You know, he did all that. And you could visibly see, I think, the confidence in him climbing. So the interesting story to me is the difference from spring training to when we saw him. As far as Lopez goes, Lopez looked very good in spring training, you know, for us last year. You can see this guy's got a good arm. And, in spring training, what was interesting, his breaking ball was ahead of his changeup. In other words, the breaking ball was better than his changeup. Well, when he came up with all the work and development and practice, and you can't understate that. Anybody that we're going to be talking about today that's either just came up or is looking to come up, there's so much work and preparation they still have to do to be as prepared as they can be when they get to the big league. So that when they reach their dream, they have a chance to stay. In the dream that they had, it wasn't to wake up and 3 days later they get sent out. You know, so there's so much focused work that has to go into it, and that's where the players themselves certainly and the coaches come in to make sure that work is getting done. So, again, dotting the I's, crossing the T's might be a term. But anyway, he comes up, throws well. All of a sudden, the changeup to me is better than the breaking ball, the curveball. And he threw some outstanding changeups. And he threw some – I can't think of a guy that I've had that has shown me in a small sample size, however many years he had in the big leagues, that he can throw a changeup down the way to a righty and keep it there really well. You know, I remember, you know, because I can look at the video the next day, you know, very often. I'll go in and look at the video and see what he did and the looks on some of the hitters' faces for a young guy to be able to do that. You can see that they were slightly impressed with what he's able to do. And again, there's more work to be done with Lopey as well as Lucas, you know. So, and, you know, when I think of the group that we're going to have in Chicago to start the season, when I think of the group that's right behind them, the best way for me to put it is I want to make one huge stride forward. Because if they can make a huge stride forward, they're going to be all keeping us in the games. They're going to be all developing. And, you know, in baseball, you never know. I mean, right now we're in a rebuild, but and I do hate that term, but I'll use it for this purpose.
Right.
That you never know. Baseball, funny things can happen. Take a funny bounce. You know, we play with the same heart, fire, and no quit like we did last year. You know what? I wouldn't be totally surprised to see us really competing.
Now, when you say that, compete for a playoff spot potentially?
Well, you know what? Listen, what I'm saying is we're in a rebuild, but if things bounce right, are you not listening? If things bounce right, baseballs take a funny bounce. Nobody picked us, Chuck, in 2005. You following me?
I do.
What I'm saying is if things roll right, you never know.
Yeah.
You know? If you're asking me to pin down am I predicting a playoff spot, get real, pal. Come on. Next question.
I want to ask you about Carlos Rodon. So
what about him?
He came on our podcast in the summer, and he said he took his arm for granted. He said he didn't take a good enough care of it during the season, during the off season, and he blamed himself for not having a good enough routine on game days, in between games, to be successful and to stay healthy. Is that your impression as well? Do you see that, what was holding Carlos back?
I never saw that myself. If he's saying it, you know, things happen for a reason, and usually the reason is to learn something. If it's not to learn something, maybe to teach something. So maybe he's learned something with that. All I know is Carlos Rodon is a talented guy, and we are going to get him healthy. And when he's healthy, he'll be back, and we will continue, hopefully, where we left off. That's kind of what I got on Carlos. If he didn't take care of his arm, you know, shame on him. We certainly have all of the people there, and I'm actually a little surprised to hear that, but if he said that, you know, you learn a lesson from it and let's move.
Yeah, that's kind of what his reaction was. I mean, he offered that up, and, you know, because I was just asking him, you know, what was going on at the start of spring training last year, and then he had to sit out for a while and he was hurt, and, you know, he felt awful, and he did a lot of introspection about at himself, saying, why am I here? Why am I in this position? And that's what he came up with.
Listen, man, listen, I get all that. That's it. That's really, it's ancient history right now.
Yeah.
Bottom line is, you're at where you're at. And right now, I talked to him the other day. He's continuing his progress, continuing his climb to get back well and get back up on the horse. That's all you got. That's all he's got in his hands right now. So hopefully, from that statement you just threw out there, that he's learned his lesson and he's busted his ass.
I want to bring up Alec Hansen to you because I love watching him pitch, and he's a giant. He's got the potential to be like a beast in the majors. That's just me as the sportscaster who knows nothing. You know a lot more about pitching than I do. So when you see Alec Hansen pitch, what do you see?
Well, I see a big, strong kid that's got a good fastball. You know, it's mid-90s, right? He's got a nice little curveball. Nice little slider. Changeup's coming along. Big, strong kid throwing more and more strikes, from what I understand, gaining more and more confidence. I'm hoping that he's one of the kids that I have to call in about a week. You know, listen, we've got a bunch of young guys. You know, Dane Dunning. You know, I'm always afraid that I'm going to forget somebody. But Dunning, Cease, Kopech, Hansen, Guerrero, geez, there's some other guys.
Yeah.
And right now they're slipping my mind that we're going to get a chance to see him again in spring training. We're anxious to do that. I like bringing a lot of the young guys that we see, you know, in our future to the major league camp to get the process rolling. You know, and spring training is a lot of fun for those guys. You know, and then giving them the opportunity to run out there as much as we can and give them that experience, because that's like a deposit in the bank. You know, if you make enough deposits, you build up a nice account, and you know, you get some experience, and maybe that experience works for you somewhere down the line. One thing just came to mind, you know, with that experience thing. You know, it was Carson Fulmer. Now, Carson, first round pick a couple years ago, came up in relief, real small sample size for us last year, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
2 years ago. You know, had a couple good outings, had a couple bad ones. But the way everybody evaluated him, he was done. He can't do this, can't do that. You know, so I kind of laugh at that. The bottom line is he came back up this year. Started off a little rough, had a bad start against the Twins, you know, and it continued. It was like, oh, this guy can't do it. And then he rolled off a string. And pitch well, and now everybody's, you know, is up back up on him. So it's guys like a thermometer, you know, and everybody talks about everybody. It's all got to play out in the wash, you know. It's all got to be done in Chicago, in the big leagues. And each one of these guys has an unbelievable challenge ahead of them. But here's what I've been telling them. I want them to do what I'm doing. Embrace this challenge.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to the challenge of making this next huge step forward individually and hopefully collectively, because if you do that, then you got a chance to win more games. We're still going to be coming to the park every day, even though quote unquote we're in a rebuild. We're trying to win the game.
You know, it's funny,
do everything with our power.
Yeah, I know. I know you're in a rebuild, but it's like I'm putting that word aside as well. I don't think I'm going to use that word in 2018 that you're in a rebuild. I just feel like the build's already going on. So we kind of see where this is all going now. So many of the pieces are in place.
Let me, you say that, this comes to mind. You said the rebuild really started in September. Okay? If you want to start a little further, when we brought up Moncada.
Yeah.
But the rebuild began in September, because until September, it was still the tearing down and Rick making the trades and making flip-flops, and you know what I'm saying? It was the tearing down of the team, the trading of everybody in the bullpen, the trading of Quintana,
yeah,
the trading of Swarzak, and you know, and then we brought up the Fulmers, the Giolitos, the Lopezes. That's kind of when it began.
Yeah, I think it feels like it began at the winter meetings, not this past winter meetings, but the one before. And in a way,
when we traded Sale?
Yeah, traded Sale. I think started,
you know,
there.
You should have put that a headline. You should have made that one a headline. You know,
why is that a headline?
That's brilliant. Well, it's a pretty good idea that you're starting to break things up if you're trading a potential Hall of Famer.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? So that was unbelievable, brilliant that you saw that.
Yeah, and then
I'm messing with you.
I know you are. I know. But how charged are you, though, as a pitching coach? You obviously would want to have, you know, listen. I'm sure you'd want Chris Sale back in your rotation, but life doesn't work that way. As this franchise has moved on, you now have these, instead of all this amazing talent, well, that's actually, it's on its way to the major leagues, but you look at the system, major league and minor league system, the pitchers who are here, the talent that is here, that's got to give you a charge, I'm imagining, because all these great pitchers you have to deal with, you get to work with, right?
You know what? They're called prospects, right? You know,
yeah. Some are.
I don't want to build people up too much here. You know, like we've made a lot of trades. We picked up a lot of talent, and now we're developing the talent, and we're trying to get that talent to the big leagues to help us win. We've brought a few guys up already. We're somewhere down the road here. We're probably going to bring up a few more. It's certainly very exciting for me to be part of, you know, seeing guys reach their dream, and then the continued work that has to go in to get the success that they're looking for and to maximize the ability they have. Like I said before, that's the job, to maximize them. And again, another term that I use, to put them on the path of being as good as they can be, at least while they're with the Chicago White Sox.
Yeah.
And that's been always been a thought of mine.
I want to ask you about one of the guys who you recently acquired. You guys got Joaquin Soria. He had command issues in 2016. He gave up like 10 home runs. Last year it was down to one. We've seen what he's done in the past. He was an all-star. What do you like about him, where he's at right now?
Well, heck, you know, first of all, he's a quality relief pitcher. He's experienced. He's closed games. He's set up some games. So we have a late-inning guy that we can count on, that we're counting on to give us that late-inning work. Now, what I'm going to be eventually talking to him about and looking at is he better start in an inning. I know the numbers are ready, righties against righties and against lefties. You know, we're going to be looking for ways for him to even get better. But the bottom line is he's an experienced veteran that's pitched in games and pitched in bigger moments and closed games. So, you know, Nate Jones is a guy that, hey, if he comes back, maybe he closes. We haven't discussed this any of this, but if Nate needs a day off, maybe Joaquin goes. Or if Joaquin's closing, maybe Nate steps. You know, we got another good guy, another piece to put in with the pieces we already have. And I would say the same thing about Avila. Avila, he's got a good changeup. He got lefties really well. The righties, he wasn't as good as he could be against righties. And he spoke to me about that. He brought that up before I did. You know, so we picked up two pieces to go along with the Manias, the Infantes, the Bummers, the Farquhar, these guys that have been with us last year. And hopefully, you know, that's adding good quality depth, you know, because that's what you need in the bullpen. You need depth.
Yeah.
And, you know, so that's what I'm psyched about, getting those two guys.
Yeah. You know, cats have nine lives, they say. Pitchers have like one, maybe two lives. Then there's Nate Jones. Since 2014, he's had back surgery, Tommy John surgery, elbow surgery, and it sounds like he's like gonna come back here in 2018. Where is he at right now?
He's playing catch. He hasn't amped it up yet, and I talked to him a week ago. But he in his words, he's fixing to do that.
That sounds like him.
But fixing. You know, somewhere we'll be able to see maybe a little bit more in spring in Sox Fest.
Yeah,
he's coming there and. You know, certainly in spring training. But, you know, listen, if Nate comes back, we know what we got. And he is going to come back. It's just a matter of when. And I think he's scheduled to be available to us in spring training. So I'm really optimistic that all that's going to happen. But he's feeling fine right now. You know, and like I said, he's playing catch and nothing was bothering him. And he's going to be starting to crank it up a little bit more in preparation for February 14th.
Okay. A few more questions here.
Sure.
All right. So there's this guy who you guys picked up from the Mariners, Thiago Vieira.
You should be a scout, man. You should be a scout.
Why should I be a scout? Because I know his name?
With the things that you see and the things you pick up and your evaluation ability.
Oh, yeah.
I tell you what, you like that 100 miles an hour, right?
Yeah, I like the 100 miles an hour. His command, not the greatest, but he pitched an inning in the major leagues. It looked pretty good. That was one little inning that he pitched. But I like his potential.
No doubt. Well, no question, man. He's got a real big arm. And just like everybody else, you need to throw more and more strikes with him. He's still young. But if he gets it over, you know what you got. I like getting guys like this. It kind of reminds me of a name like Thornton 100 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, he threw the ball, had a really good arm, but he didn't throw over enough. And then all of a sudden he started throwing over and he became good. So hopefully the same thing happens with Vieira. But a big, strong kid, and I'm anxious to see him. And you know what? The thing that just popped in my head was we're going to have a bunch of guys in there, and a challenge for me is to get them all as much work in spring training as you can, because if spring training goes, the starters get stretched out, and the innings become less.
Yeah.
So, you know, the first thing is you got to get the 11, 12, 13 guys you might be bringing to Chicago ready. And then after that, you got to get, you know, get how much opportunity can you give people? And you want to give them all opportunity. You know, that's why sometimes B games are created, just to get them out there. And because then there comes a point in spring training, Chuck, where maybe the starters, the guys in the minor leagues that are starters, well, you know, you got to send them out now because they got to get stretched out in minor league games or on backfields, because you can't stretch them out in the major league camp because
yeah.
of all the other things that are going on, getting the other players ready. You know, so that becomes a little bit of a challenge, but it's one I like. You know, the worst thing, because I remember when I've come to spring training, you just wanted a chance to, let me show you what I can do. Let me just give me the opportunity, you know. That's what you always want as a player. So, you know, the guys that are coming on the team, there's people they know that are coming. You know, there's,
yeah.
James Shields knows he's on the team, you know. there's people that know, but there's other guys that just want to show us what they can do, and they're the younger ones.
Yeah, well,
I'm excited about that.
Yeah, I want to go back to Vieira for a sec, because I'm just curious as how it happens, you know, behind the scenes. Does Rick Hahn's, you know, he's on Rick Hahn's radar, and does he like say to you, hey, check this guy out, or do you guys have a conversation? Do you even know?
You know, with him, I did not see video prior.
Right.
You know, nobody asked me. Nobody said, hey, you know, look at somebody. I just heard we acquired him, and I saw video. And it was like, whoa, okay, this guy's got an arm right here.
Yeah.
You know, this guy's got some real good stuff. And then you watch the video and you kind of look at things that he's doing. You know, I don't want to sound – the bottom line is there's a reason why you throw strikes and good pitches. Your body is in correct position. So you got to get that body in the correct position more and more often, you know, to be able to throw more and more strikes, and not only strikes over the plate, but where you want them, not only just the fastball, but your other pitches. Because a good arm that doesn't throw it over isn't worth very much. You know, if I throw 106, but I can't throw it anywhere near the plate, you know, what good is that 106? You know what I mean? I'm just trying. So even a guy that throws 100 miles an hour, there's work to be done. And that's kind of what I'm embracing.
All right, coming up, more of my conversation with Don Cooper. Who's the one guy that's going to make a big splash in 2018, his answer surprised me. I was not expecting this one from Coop. That and more next. You're listening to the White Sox Talk podcast, brought to you by Wintrust. Back in a moment. Keep your money local. Bring it home to a Wintrust Community Bank, home of White Sox checking with free ATMs nationwide. Find out more at Wintrust.com/Sox, members FDIC.
Hi, guys.
I'm Tara Lipinski.
And I'm Johnny Weir.
Guess what, Johnny?
What?
The Winter Olympics are right around the corner. And what does that mean?
Yay. That means we get to see Shaun White, Michaela Schifrin, and other top Team USA athletes conquer fresh snow and ice this February on NBC.
So make sure you're ready. Sign up for NBC Sports and Olympics emails by texting POD to 66866. Or you can visit nbcolympics.com/newsletters to receive the latest athlete updates, giveaways, and more.
Message and data rates may apply. Winter is here.
The Sox signed Wellington Castillo in the offseason, and I'd like to know your impressions about him and what he's going to do to the help the pitching staff being behind the plate.
Well, first of all, I've never met him. I watched him play. I know he hit a home run against us for somebody last year. But he was known as more of an offensive catcher from what I understood. Rick Renteria knows him and likes him a lot. I've never worked with him before, but I don't see that being a problem. It never is, you know, because I tried to call him. I left a message. I've not got a return call yet. I want to start the process of educating him, basically, on all of our pitchers individually. And that's going to happen all throughout spring training. You know, every yeah. time he, you know, it's even going to start really day one, because when he comes in, he's going to catch maybe two or three guys at sideline. So I'm going to make sure he gets the guys that I know he's going to be catching during the season to start familiarizing himself with it, you know, and for him to establish the relationship with those guys, for him to see maybe what I'm saying, which is this is the strengths of this guy. These are the things we're working on. And just to try to help put the picture together for him, because the more and more I do this, the more and more I realize how important the catcher is. Catchers are very important in holding the game plan, knowing the strengths and weaknesses of the pitcher, knowing the strengths or weaknesses of the hitter, and so much other stuff comes into it, you know, that has to be processed quickly in a catcher's mind to, quote-unquote, run the game.
All right, so did you see what Freddy Garcia did or is doing in Venezuela?
Yeah, he's still pitching. He's down there. He's still. I did see he's throwing the ball well. I talked to him and Infante. Well, I've talked to him and Infante probably three or four times. I haven't talked probably the last 3 weeks, but you know, I know that they were in the playoffs, I believe. Tell me what he's been doing. What's he done as?
Well,
he's
at 41 years old. He's 4-0 with a 2.33 ERA, 33 strikeouts, 3 walks in the Venezuelan league.
You know what? And you know what I'll say, too?
What?
Probably a lot of beer been drunk down there. Probably a lot of Polar. You know, Freddie's a gamer, man.
Yeah.
You know, Freddie's is the man. Heart, balls, you know, this guy, Matador out there on the mound, really. Interesting cat, good guy, good teammate. I can't say enough about him. World champion.
But I'm wondering. I mean, he quit. He took a year off. He's not just doing it. What's that?
What are you wondering, if we're going to sign him?
Well, sure. Well, I'll ask that question.
Sign him and inject the 41-year-old into this youth movement?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
You know what? I tell you what. Now you're showing more signs of not being a scout but a front office guy. Because you're thinking you're going to find an old diamond in the rough, not just a diamond in the rough.
An old diamond in the rough. I want to balance out the roster, you know? I want to find some young guys, some old guys, experienced.
I love Freddie.
Yeah.
Love him. He won't be coming. Unless he comes to see his brother-in-law, Infante, come pitch.
Yeah, yeah. That's right, it's his brother-in-law. Give me a guy I know you don't want to... there's a lot of guys you're excited about, but this is the journalist hat that I'm putting on right now. So I'm going to pin you down on this. Give me one guy, one pitcher, who you're really excited for to make big strides in 2018. Can you answer that one?
You know what? A name came to mind right away, and I'm not sure why. I don't know him that well. I have seen video. I have spoken to him on the phone. And no other name comes to mind. You know, I mean, because we've talked about Hanson, we've talked about Dylan Cease.
Okay.
Dylan Cease is a guy. You know, I happened to see some video about a week ago because I got this. Whenever I get bored, I'll pull out my iPad and maybe look at somebody. And I was looking at him. And you, earlier in the podcast, you talked about comparisons. I made a comparison. In my own mind, and again, from my side, I said, man, kind of reminds me a little bit in some of his movements of Robertson, Andre Robertson. He's got
David,
a curveball.
David Robertson?
David Robertson.
Yeah.
He reminds me of David Robertson a little bit. A little bit in stature, a little bit in mannerisms, a little bit in mechanics, a little bit in repertoire. You know, And that's, again, you're asking me to give you a name. I'm reaching for one because I think we spoke about just about everybody else but him on top of it.
Yeah, we haven't talked about him yet.
No, his name hadn't come up. But that's there you go. That's my answer.
Okay. I felt bad for him a little bit because he, you know, I know the game's not all about wins and losses for starters, because now there's they don't go as long in games and things can happen. But he had an ERA, I think, with since coming over to the Sox system, he was like he had an ERA in the threes and he was 0-8.
You know what? Listen, you know, it's not about, like you said, I could care less.
Right.
I'd like every team to win in the minor leagues and all that stuff, but it's not about that. And
it's about developing,
them.
I know.
And it's about working on the stuff to get you ready to come to Chicago. And I didn't even know his record until you just told me, to tell you the truth. I had no clue what it was. I might look at innings, hits, walks, and strikeouts.
Everything else looked great. Yeah. That was the whole thing. I felt bad for him because I'm thinking, this guy's pitching great, and look at that record. If I'm a competitor.
Okay. Let me tell you. I'll give you a great example.
Okay.
What about Carlos? What about Jose Quintana with us?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I know.
So, you know, there you go. I mean, you could be pitching your tail off and getting no wins and no decisions for it. It can happen. Big leagues, though, is about winning. Minor leagues is about developing. And, you know, we've got a good minor league system. We've got a good coaches. We got Chris Getz, you know, heading on minor leagues now. And we've got good pitching coach down there. And, you know, that's what it's going to be about now. To me, this is the most important time in my 30 years with the White Sox, meaning that with all the talent we've acquired, all of the coaches, all of the scouts have to be at their best right now, you know, to make sure that the kids that we're getting in these trades are good, that we have a plan for them in the minor leagues. We'll follow that plan, because if they reach the plan, the end of the plan is winning in the big leagues. So we've got to, you know, make sure we're on top of stuff right now. As for every coach, and I'm talking about Major League down.
Yeah.
You know, every scout in the organization, you know, to make sure that we're doing this rebuild the right way.
Yeah, you guys all have to be on the same page.
We are doing that.
Yeah.
I know we're on top of it.
Yeah.
So then it comes down to the players going out there and doing their thing.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's been encouraging so far when you consider that, you know, it's the three, four guys who have been traded. I think it's only three. It's Moncada, Lopez, and Giolito. But three of the guys who were acquired in this, you know, since this rebuild began, they've come up and they started in the minor leagues. Now, granted, they were further along in the minor leagues, but if you want to throw Kopech into it and Hanson, guys who are now going through the system and getting better and better, there is certainly a lot of examples of that things are working. Is it going to lead to a World Series? Is it all going to be a success? Who knows? But don't you feel like this? We're off to a good start watching what's going on with the rebuild with the team.
Well, let me tell you something. That is the plan, you know, to win the World Series. But it is going well. You'd rather it be going what we're doing going well. But there's going to be ups and downs. Listen, if those guys came up and didn't do well, you'd be pounding them. People would be hounding them. You know, like they stink, whatever. You know what I mean? All the negative fake news that I see out there.
Wait, negative? You know?
But that's
bad news
is
fake news?
They're front runners. The people are front runners. You know, people are front runners, and but they're going to have their ups and downs. We just got to make sure that the downs are on the low side.
Yeah.
And just continue again, a big stride forward individually with each guy, and each guy is in a different place. And some of the things might be the same that we're challenging them to get better at. Some of them might be different, but there's things that are there, and you know, again, part of the plan.
Yeah, you want Sox fans. Just any fan, you'd want them to be patient. I think that's a big thing with you because...
No, with the Sox fans, I want them to come out.
Well, that's true.
You're right. I want them to come out and support us.
Yeah.
You know, I come out and support us. It
means a lot.
It means a lot. It means a lot to the players. It means a lot to every... It means a big part of this continued metamorphosis that the team and organization is under right now.
Big word, by the
fun.
Way.
And it's fun. It's just a lot more fun when we continue to have people out there, not just at opening day, and maybe not just for the Cubs series. You know, that's something I'm hoping for, because I know the days, and I saw the days that, you know, we got packed houses every night, and I know how the players reacted to that, and I know how psyched the players were and how much they wanted to show and play for the fans that came out to support them. You know, so, you know, that's where that support comes in.
All right, good stuff. I like the word metamorphosis. I just wanted to, you know,
I had to
you for
drop that.
That
in there.
That's that's New York high school education you got, right?
Yeah, exactly. The streets of New York. I went to UCLA. University on the corner of Lexington Avenue.
I was wondering where you were going with that. I think we hit it all. Is there something else you wanted to add? Any kind of picture you want to talk about?
No, man. You know, listen, I don't do the interviews. I mean, you ask the questions, I answer.
I know. I just want to make sure, you know, we emptied the tank, the Don Cooper tank.
No. There's so much more. If you brought up another game, another name or something like that,
I know.
We'd talk about him, too. But we got plenty of more stuff, time to do this. I mean, next time we'll do it, maybe I'll see you in Sox Fest.
Yeah, I'll see you there. Oh, well, Miguel Gonzalez. I want to ask you about Miguel Gonzalez really quickly.
Okay, sure, that's a good one.
The word I use for him, I know you guys call him Miggy, but I call him the glue. He's a guy, you can just stick him wherever you need him. He holds things together, gives you innings. He's great in the clubhouse. What does it mean having a guy that you can depend on like Miguel Gonzalez coming back to the team?
Well, you know, I was just kind of listening to the glue. The epoxy, the glue.
Yes.
Listen, he's a starter for us. He's a strike thrower. You know, we've got to keep the walks down. They were a little higher than I'd like last year. We got to try to keep the ball in the ballpark a little bit more than overall, because that's how he's going to. Angle is important to him.
Yeah.
Being over the ball is important to him. When he is, he's good. He pitched very well against a lot of the really good teams last year, had a couple nice streaks. You know, the glue, you know, we missed the glue for a month, you know, so, you know, because he pitched with some pain, it got worse, and we missed him for over a month. So he's back, and I'm glad he's back because he's a good guy, works hard, commanding his fastball is big. He changes speeds. You know, he's got the ability to change speeds. Pitchability, like I said. You know, in some games, we allowed him. He wasn't allowed in Baltimore to go really past six. Now, I like guys to go more than six, but you got to earn that. And when he's efficient, and we saw it against the Yankees, we saw it against more than a few clubs, and the good clubs, like I said, Houston, I think he pitched well against, too. You know, we need him to be at least a seven-inning guy for us. You know, that's my hope.
That would be great if he can consistently go seven innings.
Yeah, well then you know what? I'll give him the glue term. I'll use the glue guy. You know, I'll use your term.
Okay.
Then he'd be the glue. If you go out there for seven innings every time, you're a big part of the glue.
Okay.
But he's got a curveball. He's got a changeup. He's got a cutter. He's got a fastball, two and four seam. Right. He can elevate some balls.
So maybe he might be more Scotch tape, but he could become the glue guy.
And he's better than Scotch Tate. But, you know, him and Shields are the veteran guys. The rest of the are going to be the young guys. So that's kind of another thing he does. You know, he adds a veteran presence with a lot of young guys that are trying to, you know, make their mark. He's already kind of been through that. So, you know, players like James and players like Miguel – you know, take that leadership role with guys in a lot of ways. But the best way to take the leadership role, make no mistake about it, so you know, and they're going to know too, because I've already talked to James about this. Great. You want to lead in the weight room? That's good. You want to lead, in the clubhouse and be a leader? That's great. But lead on the field. Go out there, take care of your innings, show these guys how you compete, how it works, and how you hold the other team down and give your team a chance to win every 5 or 6 days when you get the ball. That's the biggest service they can provide. It's not the behind-the-scenes stuff.
Yep.
That's way overrated.
Okay.
You know, I've heard people talk about this guy's a great leader in the clubhouse. And I say to myself, what? First of all, how do you get anybody know that? Because you're never in the clubhouse when it matters. You know, you're in the clubhouse an hour before the game and an hour after the game. How do you guys pick up on these great clubhouse leaders? I scratch my head. I want you to be a leader on the field, especially our veteran guys. That's kind of one of the reasons why they're acquired also. Not only because of what they've done and the numbers that you kind of know they're going to give you, but that they can do it on the field. You know, it's not the behind the scenes stuff that's important to me.
But doesn't that help though? I mean, if you were a leader on the field and in the clubhouse, does that show more value?
Well, let me tell you something. I've never there's very few leaders in the clubhouse that ain't players, guys that are out there every day doing. I haven't seen a guy that doesn't get the job done on a consistent basis, whether it's pitcher or position player, that becomes a leader.
No, you're
right.
You
know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, so I want the leaders, the guys, to be leading on the field with how they go about their work, how they play hard, how they compete, and the things that they do on a daily basis that aid to wins. You know,
yeah.
What are they gonna? I want the guys that come and say, "What am I gonna do today to help my team win?" That's the people we're looking for, and you know that gets done on the field. You know, those actions. So, let me tell you something. I'm going to end it this way.
Okay.
It's an unbelievably good, exciting time. I'm psyched about. I'm psyched about it every year. You know, but I'm psyched now because all of the talent that we've acquired. Now let's go play. Let these guys play, and we're going to let them play. Playing for Rick Renteria, only thing you got to do is play hard. Oh, that's it. But if you don't, you won't. And play hard and compete every day and let them. There's going to be ups and downs in young players, in everybody's year, but especially young players.
Yeah, well, we saw them go out there and compete every day. They may have not been a great game for whoever, you know, that day, but I saw it. You know, that on a day-to-day basis, these guys went out and competed, and that I think Sox fans who are engaged, they saw that too.
Well, I'm hoping to get more engaged.
Yeah.
Because that's the kind of way we're playing. And then when all of the talent does come together and we continue to acquire some more people, then we'll be back where we're supposed to be,
yeah.
You know, which is competing for playoffs and world championships. That's what's exciting.
All right. You know? Don Cooper, I appreciate your time, and thank you so much for coming on the podcast. And I hope this podcast, and you know, I shouldn't say I want this to be in the top five. You've done
there's
all
no,
you can.
There's no
you
chance.
Gave the best of yourself. I can't
there's
ask
no
for
chance.
More.
There's no chance. I gave you what I felt like giving.
that's all I can ask for.
But it was the truth.
You gave me the truth.
It was real news. Not fake stuff. Not, well, this guy's this, that, and the other thing. And I'm not rating. I'm just telling you what I know about each guy.
Exactly.
It's the real stuff.
Because you could have given me fake news, and it could have gotten a lot of publicity, but it wouldn't be the real thing. You gave me the real thing.
I see the fake news getting publicity every day. You guys take care. We'll see you soon.
Okay. White Sox Talk Podcast brought to you by Wintrust Community Bank, home of White Sox check-in with free ATMs nationwide. Find out more at www.wintrust.com/Sox. And we'll see you next time. Don Cooper, you're the man.